What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, they asked me if I had asked you to come down here or whether you had asked to see me, and I said neither. It was just one of our usual little, how do you do parties that come along with no one shall ask the other, that we ask each other. That was a call. John, how does it feel?
Yeah.
preliminary statement on which I'm in the position of your company. I make this kind of statement that I'm authorized to say the President of the United States for the life of the bank, in money and in law, has nothing else to commit to this time.
At this time?
Well, of course.
And I would emphasize the word, at this time. And I think you can go on and say this first. The President has told me that what ought to be obvious to all of us, that conditions are changing so fast in the world that it is not probable but possible that some further action of the Congress might be required. Be called for by national defense needs. And that in that event, he would, of course, ask the Congress to reconvene.
Then that gives every Democrat a chance to go through the back patch.
You see? And you see, well, sure enough, I'm always perfectly frank about these things. The Foreign Minister of Japan has just given out an interview, which may or may not be true, but he may deny it this afternoon, to the strip salad of the IMF papers. In which he says that Japan is a product of an act of war. If we were to give aid and comfort to any of Japan. Now, what do you mean? What does the word attack mean? I don't know. It's perfectly possible, not the least bit probable. I mean, it's a Jack Donald say, it's a 1 in 10 shot, that Hitler and Mussolini and Japan might feel that if they could stop American munitions from flowing to England, planes, guns, aircraft, guns, ammunition, and so forth, that they could lick England. Now, they might send us an ultimatum. If you continue to send anything to England, we will regard that as an attack on us. I say I'm terribly sorry, we don't want any war with you. We have contracts, and under our neutrality law, any belligerent has the right to come and buy things in this country and take them away. They thereupon say, well, if after such and such you are continuing to ship munitions to England on planes, we will regard you as a belligerent. Well, now, what have we got to say on that? They have caused them, I say, and passed the salary. We don't consider ourselves a belligerent. We're not going to declare war on you. If you regard us as a belligerent, we're practically sorry for you, but we don't. Now, all we can say to you is that, of course, if you act on that assumption of their belief and make any form of attack on us, we're going to defend our own. We're going to defend our own. And nothing but.
They're trying to spot you.
Now, if that happens, of course, there'll be not a belligerent, we're not fighting you, we're not at war with you, but we decline to change the red present policy of neutrality. Now, there'll be in this country, if that happens, a great deal of scared feeling, panic. There'll be a lot of people that'll say, my God, we ought to keep some of these planes back here. We haven't got enough of these planes to defend ourselves. We ought not to send every other plane over to England. We haven't got enough anti-aircraft guns for Boston, New York, Washington, D.C. church that you go. And we'll be at the lamp that we pull right in, inside of ourselves, and keep everything we're making for our own best.
That's what this man has.
And that's just what they wanted us to do. Now, this morning, you know what? You know, it's a terrible attack on Lehman, because what Lehman said is this, that the Axis powers, there's no question about it, would give anything in the world to have me licked on the 5th of November. And the Times yesterday morning comes out with one of those editorials. Well, what Lehman said, well, how did we get that way? What do you mean that the Axis powers want to keep the president? Why, you're insinuating that they are taking a course of interference in our local affairs, and that they and Wilkie have some kind of an arrangement. Little Lehman said, no, such thing about they and Wilkie have an arrangement. I am merely making the statement that they went last hour of the meeting. Time said, well, you can't saying a dreadful thing like that. This morning, first page of the Times, Herbert L. Matthews, Rome, October 3rd, while it's the New York Times. Moreover, this is about this meeting of Hitler and Mussolini. Moreover, and this ought to be used. I don't know if Steve was going to tell Jimmy about it in the Senate. Don't know if he can get in the House this again. Moreover, the Axis is out to defeat President Roosevelt, not as a measure of interference in the internal policies of the United States, but because the president's foreign policy and the cause of everything for which he stands in the eyes of the Italians and Germans. The coming United States election is realized to be of vast importance to the Axis. Therefore, the normal strategy for the Axis is to do something before November 5th that would somehow have a great effect on the electoral campaign. Now, that isn't substantiation for what Lehman said.
Writing from Rome. They didn't say anything about Landon's statement where he deliberately accused you. I was fired with him because I had a very high regard for him. I didn't think Landon would stoop so low as, even for political reasons, to make the statement, the deliberate statement that you were trying to drag the United States into war. You saw that statement, didn't you, Mr. President?
I know. That was vicious. That's a damn good thing, because that's quoting the editorial, the front page of the Times against the editorial page of the Times, which is very amusing. Well, they give anything in the world to get that fellow elected. Like, plus a couple of rookies. As you know, in the whole campaign, the reason he's losing is that he will say anything to please the individual or the audience that he happens to talk. Makes no difference. You promise first. So JPM and so will come in and say, now, Mr. Wilkie, please, will you elect to do that? So, of course I will. And somebody else comes in and you say, of course I will.
That is the most amusing thing in that fellow. What? And he grabs and he swings from one room to another. Now, of course, the people that nominated him wanted him to come out and say, what's in his heart? He wants to see the low down on the national labor relations.
Sure.
But for God, yesterday, here, day before, yesterday, the day before, he said that the first thing to do without amending the law was to pick up this inversion. Matter of fact, this was promised to be several weeks ago. She said, you know what, Mr. Wilkie reminds me of? I said, well, I'd like to get your reaction. She said, he reminds me of a comedy box. One of those men who, you know, is stepping in, but wants to get you in to get some money. And you know he's not telling you that he's going to get your money.
Now, old Sam Rosenman was in this morning. I'm fixing up with him. I'm going over the final draft of a little dedication speech tomorrow. He cut off a very searching remark and another person fell off. Did you realize that Wilkie is using the tactics of Hitler? Tactics. Hitler special. And that's based on the iteration and reiteration of the same thing. So often that after a while people come to believe it. I'm going to put 9 million men at work. I said, oh, that's nice. that night, I'm going to put $9 million in my will.
That's very, very nice.
And after he said it, Sylvia walked out. My dad made a real issue about this. I wonder if he wouldn't have put $9 million in my will. Well, that's a wild look. Well, if the fellow's going to put $9 million in the world, I'll vote for it. It's the iteration, promise, every single morning, noon, and night. Same thing. People ask the wife to believe it. And, of course, on the strategical end of things, I said in Buckwood, Walton, I said, you watch these polls, you watch the Republican timing of this campaign. I think the polls could be possible, maybe could. They're going to show Wilkie. Pretty good shape, first part of all. Then they're going to put him through a bad slump. Bad slump. So that I'll be well out ahead on the 1st of October. And my judgment is that they are going to start Wilkie picking up from the 1st of October on. Well, you know what a horse race is. Like, what they're going to do is to have their horse 3 lengths behind, coming around into the stretch. And then in the stretch, in the first 100 yards, he gains a length. In the next 100 yards, he gains another length. And give people the idea that this fella still can win. He's got time to win. He can nose out the other horse. Now, I don't know whether that's the game, but I'm inclined to think it is. I'm wrong on my date. They didn't start at the 1st of October. Next Sunday, in the ballot hall, we'll have a great many, too many votes handed to us. 500. Great many, too many.
Well, I tell them,
oh, they're giving us no map.
I think
they're giving us Massachusetts from Rhode Island. They'll probably put Connecticut.
There's one underlying thought that I think you focus on. I think the descendants of the early Anglo-Saxons, the great Americans, don't particularly love England, but they hate Hitler. Now, I find up our way a trend among people that never voted a Democrat. They're voting for President Roosevelt. They're not voting for any other Democrat. We have men, we have cases of men who are the lifelong Republicans. They're declaring for the president on foreign affairs.
I know.
Because they know that you're the expression of their views.
Yeah. And they are, and this is perhaps the way he follows the report, that old Anglo-Saxon element who composed most of the undergraduates of Harvard College or through New England. I'm hoping they'll offset the Italian defection.
You can think of that.
I think
that this might find
a weakening. I'm speaking on the 12th of October.
There's a weakening there, and I said to them, I said, listen.
He wants to speak to you. He said he thinks that the speaker is your opponent. The leader would like to hear what you want to talk about. Generally, the situation ran for him behind him.
Well, I can't make a difference. I'm talking on Columbus Day, about Columbus being an Italian, splendid nation that contributed so much to all of our civilization. Fine stock, so forth and so on. Like the Latin Americans, the Spanish Americans. I think they begin to come back. I had told
them. I know they were taking
Malloy.
They commenced to say, well, the pressure is taking a clip to Mussolini, and he probably was justified. I find that.
Yeah.
What do you know?
And the little
exchange,
the majority, I spend it with the best people.